Welcome to Grace Baptist Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Thank you for joining us on Sunday evening, September the 9th, 2012.
Father, thank you that we can approach you today. And in this moment, we approach a throne of grace. We approach a God who looks toward us with kindness because of and through the cross of the Lord Jesus. Jesus, as our sinless substitute, is our only hope to approach you in this moment. But we have great confidence because of his perfect sacrifice. Father, thank you for this local body. Thank you that you are at work through the missions arm of this church, through the men's ministry, the ladies' ministry, children's ministry, so many ways that you're working. I believe that you're bringing an awakening in hearts as well. And so, Lord, we just pray that you would move among us. We look forward to hearing in a fresh way about the Wingetts and their ministry tonight. Lord, help us to know how to rally around them, how to pray for them, how to be a support and an encouragement to them. Lord, for the Ryan family, and we know that there are others in our body that are hurting emotionally, physically, that are going through different aspects. Lord, we pray that your grace would be evident. We pray that you would be everything that is needed, and in sweet moments and in significant moments, that you would make yourself known in a unique way to these folks. God, please meet with us tonight. Please glorify your name and thus fulfill our joy. And it's in Jesus' name we pray.
Thanks, Kelly. I did actually talk to Blenda this afternoon right after lunch, and she does have a clot that they're trying to dissolve. Give her a shot, and she'll be on some medication, and she's supposed to see her oncologist, I think, tomorrow. So we'll keep praying for her. Stand with me as we begin tonight, singing The Way of the Cross Leads Home, and Oh, How I Love Jesus, and we'll end with I'm Loving You More Every Day. I Must Needs Go Home.
I must needs go home by the way of the cross. There's no other way but this. I shall never get inside of the gates of light if the way of the cross I miss. The way of the cross leads home. The way of the cross leads home. It is sweet to know as I
loving you more Thank you. You may be seated.
And Mike McDonald is going to come and sing for us at this time.
The day and the time in which we live is a difficult time. It's a time of economic woe. There are those who don't have jobs. It's a time of political uncertainty. We have an election coming. And in the Middle East, there's tension between Israel and Iran. We don't know when that's going to take place, but it will. So these are difficult times, and yet, in Ephesians 4, 6, and 7, God tells us, be anxious for nothing, but in everything in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. And then importantly, and the peace of God, which passes all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. This is a familiar song. Just wonderful peace.
Far away in the depths of my spirit tonight rolls a melody sweeter than song. In celestial light strains it unceasingly falls o'er my soul like an infinite calm. Peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray, in fathomless billows of love. What a treasure I have in this wonderful peace, buried deep in the heart of my soul. So secure that no power can mine it away, while the years of eternity resting sweetly in Jesus' control. For I'm kept from all danger by night and by day, and His glory is flooding my soul. Peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray, in fathomless billows of love.
You know the words?
Peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I in fathomless billows of love.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate that. Peace, peace, wonderful peace. I'm going to teach you another course tonight. And you said, Fred, you've taught us a lot of courses, and I have over the last month or so, and I want to try over the next month or so to try to refresh some of those in our minds, but this course is not a new course, and some of you may be familiar with it, entitled How Deep. You were broken that I might be healed. You were cast off that I might draw near. You were thirsty that I might come drink, cried out in anguish that I might sing. I'll sing the first verse with you, and then you can sing it with me, and then we'll sing the chorus to it, and you can sing it with me, and then we'll sing a little more part of the song. You were broken that I might be healed. You were cast off that I might draw near. You were thirsty that I might come drink. Cried out in anguish that I might sing. Sing that with me. You were broken that I might be healed. You were cast off that I might draw near. You were thirsty that I might come drink. Cry out in anguish that I might sing. And the chorus goes like this. How deep your love, how high and how wide is your mercy, how deep is your grace, our heart overflows with praise to you. Sing that with me. How deep.
Cannot cease, I am his.
Thank you, Fred. We're going to receive an offering in a little while at the close of the service, but we've asked Steve to come and to report to us, tell us a little bit about what's been happening over the last 20 years or so. So we'll look forward to that.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity to stand before you and make a report about the things that God has been doing in the ministry that he's called us to there in Central and Eastern Europe. If you go ahead and put that first slide up there, please. He mentioned 20 years. It's been more than 20 years now since we first went into consultation with the church leaders about the possibilities of our taking on a ministry assignment in Central and Eastern Europe. And this is what we looked like back then. It's still changing. Now let's go back. Don't let it go forward. I don't know what happened, but somehow or another it's going forward by itself. Okay. Don't let it advance. I don't know. Sometimes when that thing is saved, it keeps a residual command in there. If you can go in there, turn that thing off. Anybody want to make a phone call? If you weren't here this morning, it's a short story, but I won't even go into it. Now, we consulted with the church leadership something in the neighborhood of about 21 and a half years ago, almost 22 years ago now, about what God was doing in our thinking, in our hearts. Things were changing very rapidly in Europe at that time. And suddenly, aspirations and dreams and opportunities were apparently beginning to coincide. Cheryl and I had talked from some of our very first dates about the possibilities of going into mission service. At that time, mission service looked like pith helmets and machetes and deep jungle grass. There was this odd caricature thing in my mind about hauling a piano around through the bush. And at that time, there was also a necessity. If you're going to be a teacher, you got to have an overhead projector. So I was figuring out what kind of wagon contraption I could put together to haul a piano and an overhead projector through the jungle. Because, you know, when we think of missions, a lot of times, especially a few years ago, it was in a very rural, backward setting most of the time. And suddenly, however, the ideas of doing missionary work in an urban setting in Europe began to take on a new aspect altogether, because opportunities were just blowing wide open. And so we went to the church leadership and said, this is what we're thinking. This is what we've been sensing. Would you pray with us about this? Tell us what you think about this. So over a course of several months, we prayed together about it. And then it became fairly evident, I think, to everyone who was involved in that discussion, that this was the way God had forward for us. So, ready? You can put. Okay. So what happened was, we decided let's stop thinking in terms of, can this happen? Would this be a good idea? Let's start thinking in terms of, how can we see this happen? Not can it happen, but how can it happen? What are the next steps? It was in the missions conference of 91 that we came down here. Dr. Kempton was the speaker that year, and we made a public declaration to the church that the Lord had seemed to make it very clear to those of us who had been in these discussions that this was the way forward. And we took this picture not long thereafter, just a few months, just as spring was happening. And this was one of our very first prayer cards. That spring, that following spring, 1992, we went on a survey trip, a two-week survey trip, left two young kids for the first time. Wow, that was tough. Being in Ukraine and in Romania and Hungary and stuff, that wasn't a big deal. Leaving two little kids for the first time, that was tough. And we got back, and a few weeks later, we were in four weeks of candidate school. That was even tougher. But those were the first steps. And you people, many of you people, were right there behind us. And we have nothing to say, but we are so very, very grateful that God put us in this congregation. I told someone this morning, I don't know of a single church, I've said this many times, I don't know of a single church from which I would rather be a missionary. This congregation has been with us every step of the way, and that has been an incredible encouragement. So, the theme of tonight is, thank you to you, and thank you to the Lord. As we make this report, we want to emphasize our gratitude, our thanksgiving to you and the way God has used you to encourage us and to be a part of what has been happening in our lives. We consider you partners, and without your partnership, we simply could not do what God has put before us. Let me show you a few pictures. Because in the giving of thanks to you, I also want to encourage you to be continuing that partnership. In fact, we would like to ask you to double your partnership. By that, I mean we would like to ask that you double your time in prayer for us. Whatever that time commitment has been, and we know that there has been prayer being continually offered for us on our behalf to the Lord. We know of specific instances. But we know even behind the scenes, and when most people don't know about it, you guys are praying for us. We want to challenge you to double that commitment for us and give you a few pictures that will maybe instigate those prayers and focus those prayers. Okay? That's the purpose, to say thank you and to give you some things to pray about. Well, our family has changed a little bit from that picture. Some people have grown up, and at least one person has taken on a new responsibility of partnership with a husband. You know, Karis and Joe. On the left there, and then the people in the middle you recognize, I think, and then maybe a little bit more difficult to recognize is the guy on the right there. Joel was here this morning. Some of you got to speak with him. He texted his mom a few minutes ago saying, well, I'm getting on the plane in Atlanta to head back to Orlando. Carson Joe here live in town. Most of you know Carson Joe, and Joe's a Chattanooga fireman. We're proud of them, and we've enjoyed watching them grow up and watch how the Lord has been moving in their lives. Joel as well, we're very proud of him. He's finishing up his college work at an extension school of Palm Beach Atlantic in Orlando as he works there at SeaWorld. And we're very, very grateful for the way the Lord has worked in our children's lives. That's been a part of the ministry as parents. And many of you have helped in that parenting process, so we say thank you. Many of you have helped specifically, directly, face-to-face, person-to-person, but you've also helped in praying for them. Both of our children have enjoyed miraculous intervention on God's part, and I don't choose that word carelessly, miraculous intervention on God's part directly as a result of prayers from people in this congregation, and we are so grateful. Thank you for that. We want to emphasize that in the making of progress in Central and Eastern Europe, it has been a team effort, and this is a picture of our team from about 2 years ago now at our last regional conference. It's a little bit small, but I think if you study it long enough, you'll probably see more than just Cheryl and my picture there that you recognize. Scott, you're in this picture, aren't you? No? Oh, that's the first one you guys missed, wasn't it? Okay. Somewhere along the line, I think you'll see Joel and Debbie up there, too. By the way, you guys can be so proud of the Dicks. They're doing a wonderful job. They're so very beneficial to our team, and they are doing Grace proud. Pray for them, please. They're doing some really good work. This is our objective. This is our team's target. It's a God-sized target. What we're trying to what we're attempting to see happen is working alongside national, local ministry partners. We want to see national CPMs and cross-cultural MMs occur in each of the region, each of the countries of the region by the year 2020. A massive target. Well, you have to take my word for it because I haven't explained what CPM and MM are. But when I tell you, you'll see what I'm saying. CPM stands for Church Planting Movements. It's a wonderful thing to plant a church. It is an incredibly difficult thing to plant a church. Very, very hard. Without the intervention of God, it can't happen. But it's an altogether different task to plant a church that is intending specifically from day one to plant another church, which will also plant another church, which will also plant another church. A church planting movement is a drastically larger target. And that's what we're shooting at. We're shooting at church planting movements to occur in each of the countries of the region that God has placed us in. We call it CMED, Central and Eastern Europe and the Mediterranean Rim is what that stands for. Everything in the ABW world is some kind of acronym. It's almost like the military. That's what CMED stands for. Yeah, CMED is up there. So we're targeting seeing not just a church here or a church here, but we're looking for granddaughter and great-granddaughter and great-great-granddaughter churches. And praise God, and thanks to your prayers, we are seeing that kind of thing occur in several of the areas of our region. Now, a lot of countries it hasn't happened yet. There's a lot of work still to be done. A ton of work in this respect still to be done. But we are making progress toward that goal. For a long time, North American missionaries have had a little of a short-sighted, I think, approach. Sometimes, I can remember very clearly having this kind of insinuation made to me growing up in the Bible Belt here, that if American Christians would just saddle up, if they would just be sacrificial enough and dedicated enough that if we could muscle up and we could complete the Great Commission. That didn't happen to Paul. If we would just get it together, we could see the Great Commission fulfilled. But just think with me a moment about the Great Commission. The Great Commission says something like this. As you're going into all the world, make disciples and baptize them and teach them all that I've taught you. Teach them to observe everything I've taught you to observe. Now, if I'm teaching a Hungarian or a Romanian or a Ukrainian the Great Commission, I can't see myself as the end in the chain, but only a link in the middle of the chain. I have to impress upon him his responsibility in the Great Commission. That's why these church planting movements and MMs, missions movements, are so important. For a long time, Europe was a launching pad for missions efforts. The man who's considered the father of the modern missions movement, a great Baptist forebearer, William Carey, from England. The Moravian Brethren from what's called Czech Republic now. I mean, you want to read some stirring mission stories, read about the Moravian Brethren. Remember, Fred, how they would pack their stuff when they were getting ready to leave. They would pack their stuff in wooden boxes the shape of coffins. That was what they were looking forward to. They had no plans to return home. That's the kind of sacrifice they were willing to make. Some of the Moravian Brethren sold themselves into slavery so as to minister to slaves in the Caribbean back in the 1700s. At one point, Europe was really, as I say, a launching pad for international missions, for cross-cultural missions. For a while there was a hiatus, but we are seeing the first fruits of a rejuvenation of these missions movements, these cross-cultural missions movements. And for that, we say thank you for your prayers, thank you for your financial offerings, thank you for the opportunity to be involved personally on site there. We are seeing these kinds of objectives achieved, but there's still a long, long ways to go. So pray with us about that. Well, what is our specific task, Cheryl's, my specific task in achieving these God-sized targets? Well, we're both teachers, as most of you know. Cheryl works at the International Christian School of Budapest, where she is the department chairman for the what might be called special ed department. We call it the supplemental services department. She works with a staff of other teachers, other volunteer teachers. None of the teachers, virtually none of the teachers at this school receive any kind of salary. They're all volunteer. They would be making very, very good wages if they were working in North America. But God has laid it on their hearts to sacrificially be involved in this way. And Cheryl heads up this department. I stepped into a meeting that they were having and took these candid photos some time ago. But this group works with the school there, a school of about 250 or so students, with the students who have special learning challenges to assist them to reach their potential. That involves various assignments, but I won't go into a great deal of detail, but a lot of it is one-on-one therapy work with individual students. They spend many, many hours working one-on-one, not only with the students themselves, but also with their classroom teachers and helping them craft their curricula so that they can be of optimal benefit to these students who have these special challenges. All these teachers are North American except for one Hungarian, the girl there in the picture just over Cheryl's head. She's Hungarian. Not only that, Cheryl does a good deal of testing and consultation with specific students and with specific students' families. Occasionally, she travels various places in the region to do testing with specific students to try to determine what their specific problems might be and then how to craft a remedial program for them. So this is a very significant situation that she, a hole that she seeks to fill. A lot of families who don't have access to the International Christian School of Budapest or some other Christian school, their choices are national school in a foreign language or homeschool in their mother tongue. And sometimes these homeschooling parents don't have the special abilities to cope with special challenges. There's not a whole lot of homeschool help for special challenges. And so Cheryl does a lot of testing and consultation to try to assist in that regard. One of the big things that we say she does is she is attempting to keep missions families on the field. Every once in a while, she'll get a note from some missions family saying, if it weren't for you or the help that your staff gives us, we would almost certainly have to return to our home base for the necessities of our children. And so one of the very strategic things she does, and you don't see this in the headlines very often, one of the very strategic things that she does is she helps keep the missions force on the field. People who have invested years in learning the language sometimes are faced with ignoring the pretty serious needs of their children and staying on the field or returning home to try to meet those needs, and then leaving all of that time and effort and personal investment in relationships that they've built over the years. So in the long run, it's a very, very strategic benefit to the cause of Christ there. This is a shot at in Cheryl's office doing some therapy with this little guy. This little guy is not an MK. This little girl is the daughter of a Dutch diplomat. A number of diplomatic families are send their children to ICSB because they want their children to have an English instruction And sometimes they send them to ICSB specifically because of the program that Cheryl's department offers. This little girl's an example. She had some pretty serious difficulties. She came to the department never having been churched at all. She told Cheryl, my parents don't know anything about God. This little girl came to faith, and she was in the school specifically because of the program that Cheryl's staff offers. So it's an example of how now we can leverage that as an inroad into the family, the parents themselves. That's an example of the evangelistic opportunities that come from these types of opportunities. She also does a good deal of teacher training, not just with the teachers at the school there, but with teachers really all over the region who are facing the challenges of certain students in their classrooms, and homeschooling parents as well. She does classes that are attended by homeschooling parents from all over the region and even outside of our region. On the side, as a hobby, Lee caught it. As a hobby, she also is a coordinator for the music at Danube International. And if you look real closely, you'll probably see somebody in the picture, someone else in the picture you know. You might not be aware of it. I mentioned Joel and Debbie a few minutes ago. You might not be aware of it, but Joel leads worship at Danube on a fairly regular occurrence. We have rotating music leaders, and Joel does a great job. All kinds of hidden talents. But Cheryl helps coordinate that ministry. Well, what do I do? Again, I'm a teacher. That's my gifting. That's how God has wired me. One of the big opportunities that the Lord has offered to me here recently is I've been asked to be involved in the training of our new missions recruits. And so for about a week every year in the foreseeable future, Lord willing, I'll be in Harrisburg doing some training with some of our new recruits, team teaching along with another guy you know by the name of Wayne Hasten. And by the way, Wayne has assigned me a writing assignment to have to do with this. I'll say a little bit more about that toward the end of our presentation. But that's a mission-wide opportunity that the Lord has offered us, and we're excited about that. But most of my work in CMED is outside of Hungary. We've lived in Budapest ever since we arrived there. But most of my work now is in assignments having to do outside of Budapest. This was a teaching opportunity over in Czech Republic. This was down in Romania. Scott, you recognize that? Scott and I were in that service together, I think, when that picture was taken. We encouraged the churches that we're working with to have their own kind of mini Bible institutes in the congregation as a part of the means of training their people to do ministry. So we were assisting in this local church in central Romania, helping them try to arrange that kind of training. This is a small Bible college in northern Serbia. Look at these faces, people. Look at these faces. You hear or you have heard over the years a lot of news coming out of the Balkans about all the warfare and the strife, animosity between the different ethnic groups. There's every ethnic group in the Balkans, every major ethnic group in the Balkans is represented in this picture, except for, as far as I know, there were no Greeks in this particular class. These students all live together in very, very cramped quarters for 12 months, a very intensive Bible training program to prepare them to do work in church plants and local churches in their home vicinity. Every major ethnic group, they're former Roman Catholic Croats, they're former Orthodox Serbs in this picture, there are former Muslim Bosnians in this picture, there are Gypsies in this picture, there are Hungarians, Romanians in this picture. Look at those smiles. That's the change that the only solution for the Balkans can bring, the gospel. That's the change that happens when the gospel breaks in to the Balkans. And again, some of the credit for that kind of fruit goes to this congregation. And we thank you for your partnership in making this kind of thing possible. But this is one of the things. I get to go down to this school about once a year to teach a course there in northern Serbia near Novi Sad. Here's a local church setting of a Slovak church in Serbia. That's an interesting story I won't go into, but once again, an opportunity to do these church institutes, teach there. This is some pastoral training up in Slovakia. This happens to be in Hungary. Many of you are familiar with Word of Life Ministries. This is the Word of Life Bible Institute in Tolnai, Hungary, about an hour outside of Budapest. I get to teach there about once a year. I'll be teaching there this coming spring. Bible College over in Moldova. Some of you have visited Moldova, and we've heard a lot of very interesting things about ministry in Moldova. This is a very interesting, it's very strategic opportunity for us that God kind of laid in our lap. We did not go looking for this. This kind of got dropped in our lap several years ago. When I say our, ABWE's lap. A number of years ago, as the wall fell, pastors got together in one of the poorest countries in Europe, in Moldova, little landlocked country wedged between Ukraine and Romania, less than 2 million people. And these pastors said, we need to take advantage of this new opportunity, so they started this school. Well, they weren't content to merely minister to their own local vicinity. They began, under the Spirit's inspiration, I'm sure, to catch a vision for cross-cultural missions movements. And the Lord laid it on their heart, the opportunities to minister in Muslim Central Asia, in the stans, Tajikistan, Uzbekistan, Afghanistan, okay, the stans, that whole area is dominated by the Muslim religion. If you look closely at this, I think the picture is large enough. If you look closely at these students, most of these students' faces in this picture, in this class at the college, are Asian looking. If you look closely, that's because they are from Asia. I think this class had about 13 different nationalities represented. To show you God's sovereign control over the earth and His plan and how He implements His plan. While these Central Asian countries were under the domination of the Soviet Empire required all of the students in those situations to learn Russian. Most of their instruction was done in their national language, but everybody had to study Russian as well. Well, now, they can come to this school, and rather than the instruction being translated in 5 or 6 or 10 or 12 different languages, it can be translated into one language, into Russian. And that's exactly what happens here. Each of these students are preparing to go back to do church ministries in their local situations in Central Asia. So far as we know, this school sends more trained workers, church workers, into Central Asia than any other institution in the world. So far as we know. And it all took place apart from the work of ABWE or North American missionaries. It all got its instigation from Europeans. And we're really excited about that. And we just get to partner with them. So here's what's happening. This school has now started a satellite school, a 2-year satellite school in Central Asia. It kind of moves around under the radar. And when the students successfully finish 2 years in that satellite school, they are invited to come back to Moldova to finish their third and fourth years. While the Moldovan instructors, who are very well trained, by the way, while the Moldovan instructors who can more easily travel to Central Asia on their Moldovan passport than I can on an American passport, while the Moldovan instructors are in Central Asia doing the underground classes, I and some of the other people fill in the classes in Moldova for those traveling teachers. So we have this partnership, this cross-cultural missions thing going on, right? And we're really excited about it. You've been to Moldova, right, Fred? Several times. So you know a little bit about the situation in that country. We are really excited about this. Pray for the situation there at this school in Chisinau, Moldova. This is a teaching opportunity the Lord has given us there in Budapest. This young man came to faith over the course of several years. Our team had an opportunity. Mike worked with this young man. I did. Several of our teammates did. And after about 5 or 6 years of ministry, one-on-one with this guy, sometimes weekly, for several hours at a time, he finally came to faith in Christ. And now he's a lay leader in his local church, and he arranges for special community outreaches from his local church every quarter. He invited me to come and make a presentation last Easter on why I believe in the resurrection. He rents out a local, kind of like a YMCA meeting room, and people from the community come in. number of atheists were in the congregation, in the meeting. We had some interesting discussions that night. But that's another kind of teaching opportunity that the Lord avails us. A church plant over in Slovenia we are working with. You recognize this picture? I think you took it. This is a Bible Institute in Timisoara. Not too many hundred meters from where this picture was taken, the revolution in Romania broke out. And these young men are all training to go back to do ministry in their local churches, church plants, and so forth. It's a wonderful opportunity there in kind of northwestern Romania. Down in Athens, Greece, we have an opportunity to teach down there once a semester at the Greek Bible College. Really important, very strategic opportunity for us because church planting in Greece is extremely, extremely difficult. The Orthodox Church in Greece is at least as powerful as the Roman Catholic Church in Italy, and probably considerably more so. It's written in the Greek Constitution that in order to publish the Bible in Greek, in Greece, or to do a translation of the Bible in Greece, it's written in their constitution you have to get permission from the Orthodox Church. Can you imagine? That's just an inkling of how powerful they are. And so doing church, any kind of church planting in that setting is quite a challenge. But I get to go down to, once a semester, to this school, live on campus, eat with the students for 2 weeks at a time, and beat the drum for church planting. It's really a great opportunity. One of the students that I met in my class there at the school has stood right here. Some of you remember when Mohsen, is this being recorded? Okay, can we stop the tape here for just a second? Your missionaries have a big target on their back, a spiritual target. You know how Jesus said to Peter, Satan has desired to have you, sift you as wheat? I suspect that almost all vocational ministers of any type also are in the gun sights. And so I'm begging you for your prayers and God's intervention and grace on our behalf in this regard. Pray for Cheryl's dissertation. She's closing in on the end of a long road. She's taking a doctoral program, finishing up a doctoral program in special education. It will allow her some special opportunities in the work that she's involved in. This writing assignment that I've been given from the mission to help our new recruits. These are big items on our horizon for the next 6 or 8 months anyway. Pray for new training opportunities in limited access countries. I'll be visiting with Mohsen in just a few days. In a few weeks to explore some possibilities of mine being involved in that. Some new missionary teammates. We're always in need of new recruits, and so pray with us about that. Pray with us about new national partners. We're always seeking to expand. And new initiatives in other CMED countries. I'll be involved in a survey in Bulgaria in about 3 weeks, and we're investigating possibilities of moving into Bulgaria. We want to thank you for over 2 decades of faithful partnership. If it weren't for you, we couldn't do what God has asked us to do, what God has assigned to us to do. But we're thrilled that we have that opportunity. We can give our testimony that it has been worth it all. It's been over 20 years that we've been involved in this now, but it's been worth it all. And we look forward to even greater rewards. The Bible says, Paul put it this way, I don't think that the sufferings of this present age are worthy to be compared with the glory that will be revealed in us. And guess what? It's not just Steve and Cheryl. It's the faithful partners. And the Lord has... I started to use the word ample. Ample is so tame. Abundant rewards to recompense to his faithful servants, wherever they may be, whomever they might be, whatever task might be theirs. And certainly, we have a joint task of prayer, and we're grateful for your prayers. We want you to double those efforts. Listen to these words Cheryl put together some time ago that echoes this sentiment.
It's worth it all, it's worth it all to love and follow Jesus. I've given him so little, even though I give him all. I will obey, continue on to gained and nothing lost. I'd do it all again. It's worth it all. Time marches on, my life goes by, and I think of how God moves in me. Refiner's fires, dependent cries, he meets me where I am. He offers hope, restores my faith, soaring high. Gained and nothing lost. I'd do it all again. It's worth it all. Oh, it's worth it all. I'd do it all again. I'd do. It's worth it all.
I can't hardly say wow. That was good. And that's tremendous to see what God's been doing and what he continues to do. And we'd like to partner again with that opportunity tonight. And so we receive an offering. Unless otherwise designated, it's going to go to the Wingetts and the ministries and opportunities that they have really all over the world. So I'll ask the men to come. So thank you, Father, for Steve and Cheryl and their willingness to go and their willingness to serve and to keep at it, Father. And I pray that you'll watch over, protect them, that you'll open new doors of opportunities, that you'll give them many, many opportunities to partner with folks to help get the gospel in these very strategic places. In Jesus' name. Thank you.
I wanted to say one more word, and that is a word of thanks. There they are. We have thoroughly enjoyed the warm, wonderful hospitality of the Howes. Carol and Carlene Howe have been so very kind to us and allowing us to follow our crazy schedule these last several weeks. We're leaving early in the morning sometimes. We're coming back late at night, and I know it must disturb them, but they have been so kind to let us stay in their apartment downstairs, and we are very, very grateful. Some people like rhubarb pie. Amen. But I can tell you that you probably haven't lived until you've tasted Miss Carlene's banana bread. That's some good eating. But that's only the small part of the hospitality they've shown us, and we are very, very grateful. Thank you so much.
Just two items that I wanted to touch base. Do we still have some more stuff to be loaded out and everything? Okay, so Rick needs help, and so and Judy. So if you can help them do that afterwards, that would be wonderful. The other thing, it's when a person goes to seminary now, a lot of the schools are writing their home churches and are saying things like, do you think this person has the ability or the capacity to be involved in seminary training and to minister and things like that? And so I've received several letters from some seminaries regarding Scott Holcomb. And the question is Scott capable, and do we feel like he could do that? So they ask for a vote of the congregation. We could do something back in a board meeting or something like that. We're going to do it in here. I need a motion, okay? I have lots of motions, okay? Is there a second? I have lots of motions, seconds, okay. So all in favor, please say yes.
Yes.
Opposed, no. Any abstentions? Okay, I make that unanimous. And so I will pass that word on. You pray for Scott that the Lord will continue to show him specifically what he has for him and everything. These are just really incredible days. On more than one occasion, I thought that I was living in an incredible time to serve God. But I really believe that a lot of our college kids now, if the Lord tarries, the Lord is giving them an incredible opportunity that the likes of which we've never seen. And maybe it's just unbelievable, the opportunity. So I think that's really kind of neat. So thank you for doing that. So help Rick back there, because Judy wants him to go home sometime tonight. And so we thank you, and thank you, Steve. Lord bless you. Have a great great evening.
Thank you for worshiping with us today. Grace Baptist Church exists to glorify God by knowing Him through His Word, loving Him through worship and obedience, and serving Him by caring for others. For more information about our ministries, please go to www.aboutgracebaptist.org. See you next time.